The importance of getting a new glimpse of God is realizing that experiencing life itself to its fullest does not come from trying harder. It does not come from achieving more. The joy and fulfillment of life does not come from having things and gaining stuff. But true enjoyment and true fulfillment comes when we begin to see God in a different light. When we truly see God in a new way, real and intense way in our heart, it begins to change everything. And we've seen this in the revelation of Isaiah chapter 6 as he saw God. And we saw the outcome of that it is when we see God that he is able to do things in us that we can never experience without that. And I think even those of us that have a faith in God and have experienced God, we need to come back to a fresh vision of God. Because there's so many times that vision grows dim. And at this point in life, while we are here in this earth, it says that we are like broken vessels, we leak. And so even though God has done things, we need a constant refilling. We need to constantly see a new vision of God. It says, like Moses, that when he saw God, that his face would glow so much that they had to put a veil on it, but after a while they could take the veil off because it slowly went away. And that's the way we are. We have these moments, but yet if we do not keep a fresh vision of God, the passion in our life fades, and we get caught up again in life. We get bound by the things that really don't matter. They seem to matter, and we get caught up with them, and they seem to be the focus of our life, and yet we don't realize that they're just sucking the life out of us. It's the things that this world offers are so short-lived and do not go to the core of our needs as a person that only God can give, that we need to get a fresh glimpse of God. And so let's look at this passage that we've been breaking down every week, and we're going to close it out today, starting in verse 1 of chapter 6, Isaiah. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for me?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and they turn and they are healed.'" We see this glimpse of God that Isaiah had. First thing that we see is that we need to begin to see God high and lifted up. We've got to raise our view of God. It's so easy that we want to make God on our level, that he just becomes kind of a vending machine that we manipulate, that we can put in, do the right things and push the buttons, and then he gives us things. That Jesus is just a good friend of mine who has walked and done good things, and we need to understand that we need to see God sitting on the throne. That God is bigger than what we have made him. That he is holy. That he is awesome. That we will stand before him one day and answer to it, and that needs to begin to fill us with the awe of his beauty, that we need to become shaken by the power of his voice. And it is in that glorious beauty of who God is that we find new power and purpose and ability. But not only that, it says that we need to respond in brokenness, that when we truly see God, that it's not just about God being lifted up, it's about us falling down. That we begin to humble ourselves, that we cry out, woe is me. Because of who you are, God, let me see myself in the true sense. Many of us, when we look in our mirror, we do not allow ourselves to see the true reality of who we are. And even when we do in pity sometimes, and there are those that walk in a victim mentality that oh, I'm just nothing. But yet in that pity, they are still walking in a selfish centeredness because they are not willing to yield themselves if they truly are nothing, and yet they do not say, God, have your way with me. It is more of a woe is me, as in I'm a victim and therefore I deserve something better. When the true humility is that I don't deserve anything better, and yet, God, you have still chosen me. We need to humble ourselves before him. And then we see that when we do that, that there is a healing, there is a power, there is a restoration that this world cannot understand or even explain. And it is so hard to even draw people into that, even though we need it. And yet it's not until you get a glimpse of God that you realize the possibility that God can begin to make within us a new heart, that he can touch us with the coal from the altar, from the cross of Jesus, and begin to atone for us and create within us a beauty that finds its place in joy for life and purpose. And it is then that we begin to hear the voice of God, that last week we saw that he heard the voice of God, and there begins to become a response of surrender, of following, that God, here am I, send me. And there becomes a joy in purpose, in following, even responding to God, in going for God, in standing in the gap, that we become people who stand up and begin to reflect God in this dark world. And there is a true fulfillment of our purpose, our very created being, when we stand in the gap for the Lord. That when we go, not for ourselves, but for God. That when we begin to say, my purposes are nothing, but God, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Let me do it. I will go. Which brings us to this last section, which seems to be opposite from what God would want. Because God says, and we looked at these last two verses, says, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but don't understand. Keep on seeing, but don't perceive. It seems like, wouldn't God want them to see? Wouldn't God want them to understand it? And we need to understand that this phrase is in the Hebrew, and this is the problem with the translations and how we read this. It is an imperative in that you need to go and do this, but it's more of a predictive thing that even as you see God, there are going to be those that will not respond. Basically, God is saying as you go, there is something that there is more than just seeing God that needs to take place. Because we can come into the presence of God and never realize it. We can be given a revelation of the Word of God, and yet we can walk away without being even moved by it. God is telling Isaiah, I need you to go, and I want you to call, but you need to understand that not everyone is going to respond. I need you to understand that there are going to be those that will not open their eyes, even though the very glory of God is expressed before them. He says, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes that they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and are healed. He's saying it's not that God is making their hearts hard, but yet it is the presence of God that hardens their hearts. So it is God that hardens their hearts, but it's because of their choice of response that they are hardened. And yet God still desires that opportunity be given. In other words, God says, still, you need to present me, even if in presenting me, you harden their hearts against me. It is just like God did with Pharaoh, that God knew that Pharaoh had rejected him. And many people struggle with this, that's not fair. If God hardened Pharaoh's heart, then that's not fair that Pharaoh gets judged for something that he didn't do himself, which that is not true. None of us are sinful because of God. But God will use the sinful. Once we make that choice to reject him, then even through those of us that become hardened, He will use that to his glory, but he will constantly give us that opportunity, even if knowing that in his presence, it brings in hardness. Because how many of us know that when there's a rebellion, sometimes the very thing that they are turning against causes them even more anger? And that's the same thing with God. And yet God loves us enough that he's not going to remove himself, that he continues to give his grace and give his invitation, yet even in doing so, it hardens their hearts. It's the same sun that and we've used this as an example before, the same sun that hardens the clay also melts the wax. But it's not the sun's fault. It's the condition of the substance. We can either choose to be clay or we can choose to be wax. And this is why God tells Isaiah, it says, go to them, and even in making their hearts less, some of them, because here's the key, there will always be a remnant that will turn and be healed. And so today, here's the question, what are we going to choose to be? Are we going to choose to harden our hearts, or are we going to choose to melt before a new vision of God? And this is where God has given us that choice. How will we respond to God? Some of us will walk out the door and say, oh, it's the same thing I've always heard, da da da. We just go about our life. I'm gonna tell you, it's a very dangerous thing. Every day we have a choice of hardening our hearts or softening before God. It's a daily thing. And we begin to walk that process of our life. And so today, I am here to just remind us that we need to be the people that avoid hardening our hearts. Because you know what? We say, well, that's just something that happened with the people in Isaiah's time. We're Christians. We go to church. We've heard that. And yet, the Bible says that all these stories in the past were written for one thing, for our admonition. It says all the things that happened to the people before are for our admonition. That means to train us, to warn us, that if it happens to them, it can happen to us. We're no different than them. We're no different from the people that Isaiah was preaching the gospel to and crying out to them, come back to God. Come and see the God who wants to do something in our life. And it wasn't just them that hardened their hearts, but we hardened our hearts. And so we need to look at that. And I think that when we look throughout the Word of God, it's a constant warning of don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. Come to me. Come to me again. Be fresh again. Today, find a new brokenness. So many people, you know what, as Christians, we just think, well, I'm already saved. I don't need, we as Christians, we need to be people that are constantly repenting before God. Every day, we need to walk in the awe. If we truly understand who God is, every day should be walking with fear and trembling. In fact, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not that you're afraid that I'm not saved, but that every day I realize that I need a new glimpse of God. Let me never get so complacent that I just think I'm okay. That's the first danger of hardening our hearts. And then we become the people that see, but we don't understand. We hear, but it doesn't make any difference. We come to church, we go home, and yet we're never broken before a vision of God. And therefore, we never experience the power of God. We never experience the healing of God. We never truly experience the life of God. We become the Christian who is just frustrated, blah, not what God would want. So let's look at examples throughout the Bible of those. Now, these are people that knew God. Because remember, God said in this vision to Isaiah, he says, you're going to speak to people who see but don't perceive. So these are people that have seen God. These are people that have heard God. These are people that God has touched their hearts, and yet they've chosen to harden their hearts, or they've allowed their hearts to be hardened. The first ones that we truly see as a people of God, because before this time, he has worked in individuals. You know, he talked to Noah, and then he worked through Abraham, and he worked through Isaac and Jacob. But now, after this, we see finally the people of God. And his first main establishment is when he freed them from Egypt. He redeemed his people. And this is the first view of the body of Christ. And yet, when we look at the children of Israel that were freed and redeemed out of Egypt, could you imagine living through that, seeing the miracles that they saw, walking through the Red Sea, seeing the lightning and hearing the voice of God on Mount Sinai, seeing God bring water from a rock, seeing manna show up every day out of nowhere. The constant miracles of God, could you imagine it would have been an exciting thing? God, what are you going to do next? A cloud that follows us every day, a pillar of fire at night. It's just amazing. And yet, it says that these people who were redeemed by God, and we all know the stories, what did they constantly do? Complained. God, all you did was bring us out here to kill us. You're just making us starve. We're thirsty. And then the water is bitter. And there is constant. It was not one thing, it was another. Now we're facing an army. And it's like in the very presence of all these things, they were constantly hardened towards God. It says in Hebrews, describes this. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 says, do not harden your hearts, just as they did in the rebellion. And this is the people that he brought out of Egypt rebelled against him in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and yet they saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Behold, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we have an example that even people that saw miracles of God, that were redeemed out of Egypt, that were set free and given a new life, they hardened their heart against God. What caused, if you think about all those things, what caused this hardening of heart? I'm going to tell you, it was two things. It only happened when there was fear and there was anger. They allowed fear. Oh gosh, what are we going to do? We can't go in there. Look at these people. They're bigger than us. Or we're afraid we're going to die. There's no food. Where are we going to find anything? Because logical mind looked around them and there was no answer. Fear has a tendency to harden our hearts. When we begin to let fear into our life, it will harden, even though we've known God, even though we've experienced God. If we allow fear to take root, it will harden our hearts against God. And then from fear, you know what comes? Anger. God, why did you bring us out here? We were fine back then. You know what? When we don't get what we want, we get angry with God. God, this is not the plan that I had. When you freed us, I thought we were going right to the Marriott. We were going to the spa. You didn't tell us we're going out to the wilderness. See, we get angry with God. And as soon as God doesn't meet our expectations, you see, anger comes and it hardens our heart. A good example of these children of Israel is we need to beware of fear and anger that hardens our heart against God. Because God says, but no, if you had a vision of me, if you saw my beauty, you would know that every purpose I have, it has a meaning. There's a reason why, if you just trust me. If you would trust me, awesome things are going to happen. But fear and anger hardened their heart. Well, we know that they passed away in the wilderness because God said, you will not experience the rest of God. You're not going to experience the joy of coming into this because you have hardened your hearts. What a sad thing. Well, we know that the new generation did come in. They experienced their land of their own. They became a kingdom of the children of God where his temple was built, his presence was with them. And yet, even in a land of their own, where Isaiah was a priest in the midst of Israel, and yet here God is saying, they see me, but they don't see me. Why did they harden their hearts? If they had hardened their hearts in the time of Israel, where God was with them, where they had a land of their own, God had given them freedom from those around them, and yet they still hardened their hearts. It wasn't fear anymore. It wasn't anger at God because God had given them everything they wanted. It says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1, it says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying this, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord. All you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Now they're coming to worship the Lord, and yet God says, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel says, amend your ways, change your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. In other words, it was a ritual that they just always called on the temple of the Lord, and therefore everything was going to be okay. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, yet they did not obey or incline their ears, but they followed the counsel and the dictates of their evil hearts, and they went backward and not forward. And since the day that your fathers came out of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ears, but they stiffened their neck. Another word for hardening their heart. They stiffened their neck. They did worse than even their fathers. What does it say? It says that they hardened their hearts because what? They followed the desires of their evil heart. What does that mean? They gave in to comfort. Here's something else that will harden our heart. You know what? It's easy when everything is going good that we begin to get comfortable. We get complacent. And when we begin to just say, oh, the temple of the Lord, I'm a Christian, and in the name of Jesus, it becomes a ritual, and it's like that we just, everything's okay, or I'm entitled to everything, I already have everything. We don't realize that it begins to harden our heart. It's like the sweetness of food. It's like the richness of food that we just keep eating and eating, and it just builds up within our arteries until we're clogged. You see, they did not have to worry about fear or anger because God had given them freedom. But he said that in following the desires of your heart, that all you want is just what you want. And they didn't seek after God, and it hardened their heart. We need to beware of the desires. We need to beware of the riches of the world. We need to beware of the pleasures of life. Not that they're not good. Not that God doesn't want us to have that. But if we let them begin to creep into our heart, we begin to lose our edge. And we begin to forget where it came from. We begin to forget what we really deserve. We begin to forget why we were slaves in the first place. And we begin to become hardened. And in them, what happened? We know that they didn't die in the wilderness, but they got taken captive. They got destroyed. And even before they got taken captive, there was a horrendous time of death and besiegement as the Babylonians surrounded them and just let them suffer and die within the gates until they killed themselves out of hunger and disease. If we harden our hearts, we will be taken captive and lose everything that we think we have right now. Well, it continues. We see that not only did they lose it when they had everything, but God again, and you notice every time God's merciful, he keeps showing himself. He keeps sending out the vision of who he is, waiting for someone to see him, until it came that God brought them back into the land. They were there again, and even in the time of Jesus now comes. And so just like the earlier ones who saw so much from God, now they had Jesus himself standing among them and teaching and speaking words and fulfilling the prophecies, which the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, they had to have seen that this has to be Jesus because he is. Remember, they had memorized the Bible. It's not that they'd, oh, I didn't know that this would happen and the Messiah would do this. They knew this. They could see that he was fulfilling, and yet they hardened their hearts. Why did they not see it if they saw it? Because their hearts were hard. We as people, as humans, have the greatest ability to totally deceive ourselves because we just will not admit what we want to admit. So Matthew says this, or Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 13. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. This was right after he told them the parable of the sower and the seed, about the seed that goes out to the different ground, and some ground, it never grows anything. Some grows, and then it dies, and then finally there's just a little ground that actually grows. They're like, why? But they don't understand that. Why do you tell them these stories? Why don't you just tell them what you want to tell them, Jesus? And he says, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Does that sound familiar? Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, saying that you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people, they longed to see what you see, and they did not see it. And they wanted to hear what you hear, and yet did not hear it. You see, Jesus was among them, and he said they've still hardened their hearts because they don't want to see. They don't want to hear. They can hear, but they have hardened their hearts. So in this case, what was it? Were they afraid? Were they angry at God? No. God had cured them of that. Were they stuck in pleasures and just complacent and become evil in that? No, because God had cured them of that with the captivity. So now what is hard in their heart? We see what is hard in their heart was pride and control. That they didn't want to see him because that would mean that they would not be in control anymore. You see, the Pharisees, they had to have seen Jesus, but there was a spiritual pride within them. That we're okay. Why do we have to admit that we need you? We're the ones that we have been serving at the temple. We're doing all the following all the laws. So you're trying to say that we're bad? There was a pride there that we're not going to admit that, and we're not going to give up control because this is how you do things. And Jesus, you're doing things differently. And when we refuse to give up control, we harden our hearts. You see, the very beginning of sin was that I will decide what's right and wrong for me. I'm telling you, this is the biggest danger for all of us. We're too smart for our britches. You hear that? Remember, your parents used to tell us that. And I'm telling you, as Christians, we're too smart. We want to tell God how he works. And when it doesn't work, this, and we read this, and we try and, you know, we take this, and we're going to put the meaning into the Bible. When we read, this is what it means. We need to finally stop and say, God, break my heart because I'm going to give up control. But when we keep control and we want things the way we want them and we walk in spiritual pride, it's hardness. And we will even miss the Messiah while we're sitting in church. We can come to church and go home and be hardened. And what did they do? They weren't taken captive. They weren't kept out of the promised land. You know what they did? They killed the very Messiah that Jesus sent. If we're not careful, as we harden our hearts, we will be the very agent of killing what God wants to do in this world and in our own life. If we don't begin to become aware and get a new vision of God. Because, see, the final place is in the church today. And Jesus didn't leave us out. Because the Word of God says it's not just the Pharisees. We like to look back, oh, it's just them, man. If I was them, I would have known. Oh, no, you wouldn't. We are just as hard today. We use different excuses. But even in our hearts, we need to ask ourselves, am I seeing and not really seeing? Am I hearing, but maybe I'm not allowing myself to really hear because I don't really want to hear, because I don't want to be affected. I don't want to be changed because then I'm going to have to be inconvenienced. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, maybe just unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, here's one, without self-control. Not a major sin, but you see it's hardness, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here it is. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And from such people turn away. You see, today, we have a form of Christianity, but are you really seeing God? If we really saw God, we would be falling at our feet weeping like Isaiah did. I don't see too many people doing that. So we need to ask ourselves, have we hardened our hearts? Have we gotten caught up in fear or anger? Have we gotten caught up in comfort or complacency? Maybe we have caught up in spiritual pride and hold on to control. But whatever it is, it has hardened our hearts. It even says in the next chapter, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. See, we don't even want to hear this type of message. Just tell us doctrine. Just tell us, you know, what the Bible teaches, and we'll just follow that. You know what? We many times just want the doctrine. I'm just a doctrine type person. I'm not emotional. At some point, there's going to be a choice of passion that we've got to fall before God if we truly see God and let him break us. Because without breaking, there is no restoring. Have we hardened ourselves? Have we refused to break and let God do something in our hearts? That's the question today, because we are no different than the whole history of mankind. And so we ask, are we willing to soften our hearts and see God today? You see, it's not just enough to get a new glimpse of God. You've got to let it soften you. We've got to begin to let it make a difference and respond to it. Otherwise, we're just the same hard people that God tells Isaiah about. And if you read after this, Isaiah says, well, how long is this going to happen? And God tells Isaiah that it's going to happen until they are totally destroyed, until they are wiped out. But here's the good thing. God says, but Isaiah, there's always going to be a remnant. There's going to be a few that will not harden their hearts. And they're going to be that people that I will be their God, and they will be my people, and they will see me. I want to be those people. I want to be the people that are willing to look foolish, that is willing to be uncomfortable, because maybe I'm not emotional, but I'm willing to be uncomfortable. Maybe I'm not that type of person that will think in those ways, but God, it's not about me, it's about you, and I want to see you. Are we willing to be the people that he says, lest they turn and be healed? I want to be the people that turn and be healed. And that's all of us have to answer that question today. Have we hardened our hearts? Hebrews over and over says, don't harden your hearts. Be the person who is willing to do self-evaluation and fall before the Lord and soften our hearts. And when you do that, you will see the Lord in a new way, in a healing way, in an awesome way. And who knows what God could do then? It's exciting.